Wow, how exciting is that? Let's give these guys another big hand. We are so proud of you. So proud of you. From time to time, people, especially young people, will walk up and they will ask a question. They will say, what does it take to be a pastor? What does it take to be a minister? And, you know, really two things. One, you need a call of God upon your life. Because just like your job, somebody shouldn't be doing it unless they have a calling for it. That's what makes it work. But number two, to be a minister or a pastor, you have to be a person that always wants something for other people. You cannot be a person who just wants something for yourself. And every week when our pastors, you know, come up to the stage, they're carrying a burden. They want something for you. And that's what preaching is. And today, the thing that I want for you is simply this. I want you to have to live your life without your life being controlled and dominated by fear. I can't give you a life that you will never have any fear. But the Word of God can teach you how to have a life to where your life doesn't have to be dominated and controlled and enslaved by fear. And so we're going to look at some things today that just will set us free from being fearful. Fear is something that's very common to all of us, you know. It doesn't make any difference who you are. There's things that you do fear. You have to work through it. I remember in 1977, Kathy and I took our first church in Rankin, Texas, and a lady in the community died. And she was in her 90s, and this is back in the 70s, so she was born like in the early 1880s. And she passed away, and they wanted me to do her funeral. And I had never done a funeral by myself in my life. That was my first one. I was 18 years old, 18 or 19, just a kid. And I was scared to death. I just knew something was going to go wrong at this funeral. And to make matters worse, somebody in my congregation walked up to me and said, oh, I hear you're going to do Sister So-and-so's funeral. Too late for the wedding. Funeral. And they said, wouldn't it be great if God just raised her from the dead? And I went, does God do that? You know? And I'm like, you know how it is when somebody will say something, you know, they're just joking or in jest or whatever. But you just take it a tad serious, and then you will dream about it that night. And I dreamed about that funeral, because the next day I'm going to do this funeral for this very old lady. And I dreamed, and I'm up there preaching, and she starts coming up out of that casket, man. And I wake up in a cold sweat, and I go back to sleep, and I'm back in the pulpit. She comes up out of that casket again, and just went on and on. So when I woke up the next day, I had no sleep, and so I had to go do this funeral, and I'm just like, she better not get out of that casket. Let us have a successful funeral, and I'm happy to report that I preached that funeral, and she did not come up out of that casket, and I know I'm a terrible person. You probably never want to hear me preach again the rest of my life, because I remember when it was all over and we finally got her in the grave, I said, oh, God, thank you for not raising her from the dead. I know I'm a terrible person. But, you know, Brother Mike, a while ago, was talking about his four-year-old and how they'll run in. You know, his parents, you know what it's like whenever the thunder booms and all of a sudden you hear this pitter-patter. Your little girl comes running down, and she's scared. Now, she just doesn't jump straight into bed. She asks for permission, but it's not fair because she does it with tears in her eyes. And she, Mommy, I'm scared. What are you scared of? I'm scared of the storm. It's just a storm. It rains once every 10 years in Alamogordo. It just you hadn't seen this in your life, and it's perfect. Well, no. And so go back to bed. Well, no, there's a monster in my closet. And finally, you want to go to sleep, so what do you do? You just let her jump. She jumps in, man. And the next day, you're up there cleaning her room. You're vacuuming. You look over there at that closet she thought that monster was in. What do? You go look in the closet. You do. I mean, it's like, I'm an adult. I know this monster, but still, you go open that door. Fear is just something we learn from an early, early age. We learn to fear so easily, but we don't learn how to overcome our fears. That's where the Word of God comes in. What is fear? Fear is an emotion caused by a belief of a looming potential loss. And fear shows up in many people's lives as a form of anxiety. There's all kinds of anxiety. You know, even the Bible talks about, we talk about, if you need something, go to God, ask God, and God will give it to you. And sometimes we get this idea that God is a Santa Claus, and we have this big list, like our Christmas list. We need this, we want that, we'd like to have this. She's got this, and I don't have that, so I'd like to have not just what she had, something a little bit better. And, I mean, you would just kind of get in this frame of mind. And first of all, the Bible teaches that if you have a lot of stuff, you have to build a lot of barns to put the stuff in, and then you don't have time to go see anybody or go do anything or anything because you got to stand and guard your barns and guard your stuff. And you may be here this morning, you may say, well, I don't have that much. Well, you don't have to worry about too many things. Can I get an amen, More you have, the more you worry. The more money you have, the more worry you have over your money. Rich people worry about losing their money. Poor people don't have to worry about that. Can I get an amen in the house? Amen. Ever glad you're poor today. And there's nothing wrong with money, not a bit. And you should be worried about it because, goodness gracious. There was a brief time when nobody could call you on the phone and want to sell you something. It was against the law. And what has happened? How many of you get calls every day wanting to sell you something? It's like it's not even, so what people are trying to get your money. So there's reasons to fear. And, there's things that happen that are out of your control. That's why we fear so many things sometimes, because you can't control everything. You may be a control freak, but you still don't control everything, A couple of weeks ago, an individual that I shall remain nameless tweeted something about, imposing tariffs on trade. $29 billion evaporated in the stock market just like that. Boom. It's like, somebody cancel that account. Can I get an amen? Just get rid of that Twitter account. Amen. Okay. And one of the reasons why is because just because we live in a modern age doesn't mean that all this technology is making our lives anxiety-free. It's making it actually worse. We went from where we lived by wisdom, and then we threw wisdom away and we started living by knowledge. Then we threw knowledge away and we started living by information. That's where we are now. And the problem with information is it's just information. There's no remedy. There's no direction. There's no wisdom. There's no where's your next step. It just, here's the pain of the world. Deal with it. And what do you do? It's just so many things. And so our default sometimes is just to fear. What is anxiety? Anxiety is a present emotion. Is a present emotion of inner turmoil produced by the uncertainty of the future. And to make matters worse, we've kind of fallen into this deal that when we are fearful, we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to admit it to anybody, especially as a man. I mean, we men, it's like we don't want to be characterized as a person that fears. We don't want to admit to our wife that we're afraid. We don't want to admit to our kids we're afraid. It's like, I'm the man. Can't be. Here's the deal. When you and I live in a world in which we are even afraid to express the emotions that we're having. Here's what I can tell you about that. If you can't feel your own emotions, you sure can't feel anybody else's emotions. And you can't get in touch with somebody else's pain, and you can't become an empathetic person because you don't even recognize your own, much less anybody else. How many of you are glad we serve a Savior that knew what it was like to experience pain, knew what it was like to express that emotion and cry out to his heavenly Father, and now knows what it's like whenever you go through a dark time in your life. Amen. He is able to relate to you. And so today, this is not a sermon about stuffing your emotion or stuffing your fear or just tough it up. This is about overcoming your fear. And the beautiful Word of God, what it does to us. Jody Picoult said this, anxiety is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. Just ties you up. Our big idea is simply this. The Scripture has an answer for anxiety. The Scripture has an answer for fear. And the first one is simply this, that you can have freedom through humility. Freedom from fear through humility. Let's look at 1 Peter 5, 5 through 7, and see what Peter says about how that humility sets you up to overcome your fear and anxiety. He said, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourself to the elders. That's just a good word right there, amen? We need to respect our elders. I didn't preach this way when I was younger. Now that I'm getting older, I'm starting to preach more like this all the time. Got to get an amen. All of you clothe yourself with humility toward one another. So it shouldn't be this, you know, I'm up here and you're down here business. The cross makes the ground level that everybody stands on. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. So when you humble yourself, God shows favor to you. Wow. See, you can get further in life by being humble and living with God's favor than you living in egotism and God withdrawing his favor. You can get further in life. And then he says, humble yourselves. And the reason why he says humble yourselves is because if you don't humble yourselves, something will come along that will humble you. Therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And then cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Here's how humility sets you up to overcome anxiety. And because what he's saying here is there's a lot of fear and anxiety that we bring on ourselves. Not all of it, but there's some of it that we bring on ourselves. And the way we do it is we're always going around talking about ourselves. We're always going around propping up ourselves. We're always going around trying to, you know, tell the world how great we are. And I can do this and I can do that. And, you know, I did this and I'm related to this person and I did this. And why do we do all that stuff? We do it because we want to feel good about ourselves. And we want to make sure everybody knows how wonderful we are and everything about us. And we think that is going to help us feel good about ourselves. And God says, you're going the wrong direction. God will resist the proud. If you're going to do this all on your own, God will just say, I'm just going to back off and let you do your thing. You're so wonderful. And what Peter is saying, what you need to do is quit trying to go around and selling yourself. Quit being in competition with everybody and everything. Quit trying to one-up everybody. The first step to being free from anxiety is knowing who you are. And you are a child of God. And that means God loves you so much. And you don't have to go around convincing everybody how wonderful you are. You're wonderful because God loved you when you was not so wonderful. Amen. And so you just, you know, back it off a little bit. You know, on a practical way, what we do sometimes is we get in those moods or those modes in which we get an opportunity to tell somebody how wonderful we are, and we just can't resist doing it. And we'll say things like, no, I'm really good with my hands. I can do just about anything. Well, that person you just told that to is going to call you 20 times in the next 30 days to come fix something at their house, right? Is that going to add anxiety to your life? Come on, give me an amen. What if you go up to somebody and say, you know, I'm just really a caring, loving, and patient person. I'm just, that, trust me, you say that, your kid's going to give you a reason to be impatient, amen? You know, just like, you know, if your neighbor says, you know, I'm just a happy-go-lucky guy. I love people, and I'm patient. Yeah, okay. I'm so glad you just said that because I just ran over your cat a while ago, you know. Glad you're patient. Well, what am I saying is that when we go around and out of our insecurity, we're always trying to tell people how great and wonderful we are. And what we don't understand is we're setting ourselves up for more anxiety because now everybody's looking to you to be superhuman. You know, you can go out, have a pizza with your friends, and you can tell them, I'm not afraid. You know, this is a guy thing. I'm not afraid of anybody. You know what? Those guys you're with, you know what they're going to do next time something comes up? They're going to take two steps back, and they're going to push you forward because you're not afraid of anybody. Can I get it? Amen. Christians have always been humble people. Why? Because our worth is found in our relationship with God, not in what we did or do. That goes a long way. Just sets you free from all the anxiety that we have in life because we don't feel like we measure up to somebody. I'm going to tell you, if God's grace is in your heart, you measure up to anybody. Can I get an amen in the house? And then number two, security by redefining your treasure. There's a scripture in Matthew that talks about your treasure. And if you get your treasure mixed up, it's going to bring a tremendous amount of fear and anxiety in your life. If you don't know what your treasure is, if you have identified the wrong thing as your treasure. So let's look at Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Here's Jesus is telling us simply this. You will have less fear and less anxiety if you properly identify what your real treasure is. And it really is a matter of two things. What is your treasure and where is your treasure? If you're in this mode of thinking, you know, my treasure is all about money. I just got to make money. Now, everybody needs money and everybody needs to work to make money. I understand that. But if that's your treasure, then you've got it all messed up. Because the people in your house, that live in your household, that's your treasure. Amen. Your kids, your wife, your spouse, your family, your close friends, they're your treasure. Your heavenly Father, He is your treasure. Your Savior that died upon the cross. And the beautiful thing is that God says, you can celebrate a treasure that nobody can touch. You can possess a treasure that no one can ever take away from you. But if your treasure is takeable, if it's stealable, if your treasure is something that somebody can take from you, it's no wonder that we have invested so much in so many things, and now we just got to sit around and guard it and keep our hand upon it, keep it close to us. We become enslaved by it. Now, to put this on a little bit more of a practical term, I think that your relationships with one another becomes your treasure. I know that in a scriptural context, God is talking about how that we invest in things that are eternal, but one of the applications is that every time you treat somebody decently, every time you treat somebody rightly, every time you give somebody love instead of giving them hate, I think you have just laid something up in heaven that can never be taken away. Every time you give somebody understanding instead of giving somebody judgment, I think you've laid something up in heaven. Every time you don't give somebody what they deserve, instead you give them something because God loves you and God loves them, you're laying something up in heaven. And I just think too many people live their lives for what they can get here rather than living their lives for what they can put up there. Amen. And God says, know what your treasure is. If you're confused and you're anxious and fearful and you're afraid I'm going to lose this, I'm going to lose this, I'm afraid I'm going to lose that, I'm afraid I'm going to lose that, and you just spend all your life bound in this fear, maybe you need to redefine what your treasure is. Because where that treasure is, That is where your heart is also. And then thirdly, elevation through God's peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7 says, don't be anxious about anything. God recognizes anxiety will come, but he says, don't be anxious, but instead in every situation, everybody say every. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So God says the way to reduce your anxiety and the way you reduce your fear is to become a person of prayer. You say, well, what is prayer? Is prayer trying to get God to do something? Guess what, folks? God already knows what to do. When you pray and you tell God what you want him to do, God's not in heaven saying, oh, man, I wish I'd have thought of that. Thank you for telling me. God doesn't do that. God really doesn't even need you to tell him what he needs to do. Prayer is really about you learning who God is, and it's big time learning about who you are. You will find out more about you through prayer than you will any other way. Prayer opens the heavens, but prayer opens your life. And when you know who you are, you can be a help to the people around you. Can I get an amen? Is that good preaching or what? You got to know who you are. Amen? Thank you for those six hand claps. I really appreciate that. So he says, pray, okay? So prayer does what? It positions you to accept God's will and God's way, you know? Jonah went through this. You know, I went and read the story of Jonah again just because of this sermon. And it's like, you know, Jonah is this great superstar doing all these things. Got swallowed by a whale, vomited up, went, preached, 100,000 people got saved, had all this stuff. Yet he had some very persnickety problems. And his problem was this. He wanted God to do it his way. And when God didn't do it his way, he pouted like a little child. He pouted like a little child and a few adults, okay? And he just goes and he just sits down and he says, I'm just going to sit here and die. Just, well, kill me, God. Oh, excuse me. I delivered you out of a whale's belly. I just gave you 100,000 converts, and you want to die. What is wrong with this picture? I'll tell you what's wrong with this picture. We want God to do something, but we always want him to do it our way. Prayer is about getting you positioned to accept God's way, God's answer, and you being all right with it. Because God knows better than you do. If God answered all of your prayers the way you wanted it, you'd be in a mess right now. How many of you are glad sometimes God didn't answer some of the prayers that you asked him? Amen? God held up and said, no, you don't understand, man. I'm not going to give that to you because it'll kill you. You know, we have people winning the lottery nowadays. And they're like, glory, hallelujah. You know, they put them on camera and, oh, God, you're so wonderful. And then all that money destroys them. They should give that money to me so they wouldn't be destroyed. And so what are we saying here? We're saying that when you pray, God is saying, the problem is you could go to anxiety, but instead I want you to pray. And I want you to petition God with thanksgiving. Don't just go to God and say, okay, God, I got 46 things today, just 46 that I want you to do. Instead, he says, I want you to go with thanksgiving. Here's the deal. When you become thankful for what you've got now, it'll change what you ask God for in the future. When you're not thankful for what you've got now, you're asking for weird stuff, you know? And so, next time you're down, next time you're fighting this anxiety and you just, nothing's working, get a pencil and a piece of paper and write down everything you're thankful for. You get ready to have one of the most glorious moments of your life if you will write down everything you are thankful for, because when you get through filling that page up, you're going to look at it and you're going to hold it up and you're going to say, wow, God is awesome. God is awesome. And it just changes everything, you know? So yeah, you got complaints. Yeah, you want to vent. You want to air your grievances to God, and that's okay. But do you know what you're thankful for? Write it down. When you go to God in prayer, start off by just thanking God for everything. There'll be times that you'll even forget what you went to ask God for because you just get lost in how good God is. And God is simply saying this: pray to avoid that anxiety. It's simple as that, but with thanksgiving. And verse number 7, and the peace of God, literally, that transcends all understanding. Now, a lot of Christians are really afraid of this word transcend and transcendence. And I know in pop culture and as well as a lot of other religions and things, this word transcendence is used in so many different ways. But I refuse to let the world take a word that comes from God's word and mess it up and then cause me to be fearful to use it. So I'm just going to boldly use what God says here in the Word of God, transcendence. When he uses this word, he says, I am going to give you a peace. As a result of your prayer and your petition and your thanksgiving, what I'm going to do is give you a peace that transcends all understanding. Now, the reason why we're so fearful and we have so much anxiety is because we don't understand. And we just want God to tell us why. Just, you know, God, I just come back from the funeral of my mother. I want to know, why did you take her? Why did she have cancer? Or God, I lost my job. I want to know why. You know, we have this why. I got to tell you, I've had some big whys in my life, and you have too. And some of you are dealing with the whys right now. And maybe you're even about to lose your faith because, you know, maybe abandon your faith because you don't believe God loves you and you don't understand why this happened or that happened. And you're kind of at a point where he says, all right, I'm going to put everything on hold with you, God, until I get some answers, until this little verse comes along. And it says, in every situation with prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then he doesn't say he's going to answer every one of those prayers just like we want. Verse number 7, it'd be real convenient in verse number 7 if he had said, and then when you're through asking all these things, I'm going to give them to you, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. But he doesn't do that. Instead, he says, and the peace of God will come. Excuse. I didn't ask for peace. I ask you to explain why. God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you, listen. I'm going to give you a peace that transcends understanding. You know what that means? That word transcends is a Greek word. It's called hyperbolo, which means to throw beyond and surpass. Throw beyond and surpass. It's used only 5 times in Scripture. 2 Corinthians 3:10, Paul said, God has surpassing, hyperbolo, surpassing, throw beyond or surpassing glory. 2 Corinthians 9:14, hyperbolo, surpassing grace. In other words, this glory and this grace is even better than what you were asking for. Ephesians 1:9, surpassing greatness. Ephesians 2:7, surpassing riches. Ephesians 3:19, surpassing knowledge. And then he comes in and says, When you pray and you're fighting anxieties and fear, I'm going to give you peace that transcends or hyperbolo, goes beyond and surpasses all of the understanding in the world. God says, you wanted understanding. I'm going to give you something even better. I'm going to give you the peace of God that gives you the energy to move forward in difficult circumstances, even though you don't have all of the answers. You do have all of the peace of God. Amen. And it moves you forward, and you allow yourself to breathe again, to live again, to go forward with courage. And that's the people that are walking around today saying, I don't have all the answers, but I got God's peace. I don't have all the answers. I can't tell you why this happened. I can't tell you why that happened. I can't tell you why this baby got this disease. I can tell you, in spite of all of that, I've got God's peace. Now, why is God's peace so important? Look at it. For God's peace that transcends all understanding will guard. Everybody say guard. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God thinks your heart and your mind is so valuable. Your heart and your mind is God's treasure that he sends his peace to stand like a guard to protect that peace. And that's why people walk through the valley of death and can still come out on the other side giving God glory, is because God has guarded their heart and their mind through the whole way. I've just come to tell you today, don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. God loves you. God is for you. God's protecting your heart and your mind right now. And it's good to have your heart and your mind safe. Can I get an amen in this house today? So, you know, Pastor Justin makes it available at every service for people to come forward that want prayer. This may be a good day for you. This may be a good day in which you come forward and you admit it, I'm afraid. It's okay to admit it. It's okay to let that emotion flow. Because there's going to be somebody up here that's going to pray with you. You now know what the Word of God says about those fears and those anxieties. You're going to start the road to healing. You're going to start down a road in which you no longer have to be enslaved and controlled and dominated by your fears. Because God is good, amen? God is good. You guys ought to come back to the next service just so you can hear that girl sing God is good one more time, amen? God is good. I want you to stand, please. If you would like to have prayer, we're going to be at the front. My wife and I will be up here. Pastor Justin will be out there shaking hands. If we can help you, if we can pray with you, we'd love to do it. Just remember, God does not want you to be bound by fears. You can be free. Father, we love you, and we thank you today for our time together. Thank you for the work that you're doing in hearts all over this room. In Christ's name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.